Good morning. I'm John Whitenack. I'm our children's pastor here. And for anyone who is a guest with us, just kind of let you know what's going on. We're glad you're here. We're going to have an odd kind of next month. Our lead pastor, Joe Stegall, and his wife, Sarah, had a gorgeous little baby girl born, their fourth little girl. So, A, we should pray for Joe for that, just for survival for the next several decades. But when little Eden was born, she had Down syndrome, and that was a big surprise, and that's okay. That's not who Eden is. She's just a precious little girl. But unfortunately, Eden has suffered most of the side effects of Down syndrome. She has a large hole in her heart, and the valves weren't shaped properly. And then in addition to that, she had some GI tract stuff. So she had surgery about a week after she was born. And she had a second surgery, an open heart surgery, this past Friday. The good news is she is doing extremely well after that surgery. And so we need to be very grateful for that. But what we have done for a church for Joe and his family, because it's going to be a long, hard recovery process from the surgery that happened Friday, is we have given him a month's medical leave, special medical leave. And they are going to just be a family for a month. It's been crazy. They haven't stopped. Joe's usual words are, "I'm tired," if you ask him how he's doing. And Sarah the same. So we are going to do something special for them a month. Tom and I are going to preach. It worked out odd because we're about to have a baby. My wife back there is poor thing, is about to pop, and it's 108 degrees. And so y'all pray for her. And we've got Christy's in the same boat somewhere out here. But I'm going to be preaching for 2 weeks, and then Tom's going to preach. We're going to finish up Malachi. And now I got to give you the story behind this, all right? 4 years as a church. How many sermons have we had on money? Anybody remember one? Hadn't been a sermon on money yet. So Joe says last week, "I don't think I'm going to finish Malachi. I think I'm going to wait 1 week to do that and preach something special for VBS. So guess who gets to preach on money? Now, that's okay, because the last three times I've preached, you know what a text he assigned me? Predestination. Three times in a row. Now, I got to say, I'm okay with that, because when Tom preaches, he makes Tom preach like five chapters in a sermon. So it's okay. But, you know, I'll just remember that. Heckle him when he gets back. He's probably going to preach like three verses and, you know, some text, "Jesus loves you." And so anyway. But next week, we're going to begin a series. It'll be 4 weeks for the rest of the month of July. We're going to preach through Romans chapter 8, what a lot of theologians have called the greatest chapter in the Bible. It covers everything. It talks about salvation. It talks about the future. It talks about how to live. So just come next week. Don't miss this. It's going to be a fabulous month in the book of Romans. But today, we're going to finish up Malachi. So let me read one scripture. We're going to pray. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. We're going to go 6 through the end of the chapter, the end of the book, which is not very long. It's a very short book. Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 6. I'm just going to read this verse. "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Israel, are not consumed." That's good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are Almighty God, the God above all, over all, who created all. And God, you are who you are, as even your name that you gave us to call you says, you are. And so, God, we praise you. You do not change. You are faithful when we are faithless. You are generous when we are hateful. You are loving when we are violent. And we just say thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, your love. Thank you that you do not consume us. In Jesus, your name, amen. we're almost going to have three little mini sermons, all right? So don't get scared. It's hot, and I'm hotter up here than you are down there. So don't worry. Don't stress yet. But Malachi is set up, if you remember, in a series of six kind of debates or discussions with God. That's why we called our series Debatable. And we're going to get to the point of that word. God always gets the last word in a debate. Now that seems silly and obvious and all that. But this is how the book is laid out. So first God makes a statement, and then people argue against it. And he says, no, this is really how it is. And he makes another statement, and they argue against it. And so kind of here's the big picture structure of the book. The first thing that people argue with God about is, are you a just God? It just seems like you're letting people get away with things, and us, all us good people here, we have trouble. God says, first, you're not the good people. But second, no, that's not true. And then he gets in and he talks about offerings. We're going to come back again to that today, so I won't mention that a lot. But there in the middle, because I'm not coming back to this today, he talks about marriage and relationships. And he talks about it twice. There's two sets. So this, can you see kind of a funnel happening? So we're going to talk about today, and we talked about the very first day. Is God just? Is he really over all this thing? And then it comes down a little bit. And we're going to talk about offerings today. And we talked about offerings the second day. And then the point of the funnel, it's marriage. What is marriage all about? There's two things on that. And when you get to the bottom of that funnel, when you kind of see this big structure that's going on, the point we're going to get to at the end today, God's conclusion to all this hits like a punch from a championship heavyweight. It just impacts you, and you cannot miss it. So let's get into the text. And yes, the fifth debate, if you're following along in your bulletin, is all about money. So let's read this. Malachi chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 6. And we're going to read through verse 12. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you are not consumed. From the days of your father, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Let's just pause right there. This is a discussion about money. I've told you that. We haven't read Scripture to get to that, have we? What's he talking about? The same thing he talks about in all of Malachi. When he talks about marriage, he doesn't give you three pointers to, you know, have a happier day when you get home from work. He talks about the heart. When he talked about offerings, he didn't talk about, you know, this is how you do it. Let me just remind you of the laws. He says, no, your heart's not in it. When he talked about, is God just? Same thing. Your hearts are flawed. You're selfish. You're focused on yourself. You want everything the way you want it. You're idolaters in your hearts. And so when he comes to talk about money, God doesn't start with money. He starts with your heart. And folks, that's where we're going to be today when we talk about money. There's going to be a few practical things we go through, but the reality is this is about the heart. And we cannot miss this. He says, return to me. Come back. And I will return to you. This reminds me so much of Revelation, where Jesus says to the churches, come buy from me gold, expensive, and you're naked, poor, wretched, and blind, and have no money, and come buy gold. You can't do it. But Jesus has already done it. That's the point. You just get to come. So he says, return to me. Let's continue on verse 8. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing till there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you. This was probably a pestilence, a crop disease or a crop pest. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. We can't escape a few things in this text. Now, we're going to take a little excursus here in just a minute, so stay with me, but track with me for an Old Testament person what this said. We're going to talk about us in just a second, but let's say what the text says, and then we'll see what does it say to us. The tithe, all right? He says tithes and contributions. There is a definition of the tithe. It is in the very word. It means a tenth. So there's some discussion today, again, in this application phase of, well, maybe tithe could mean this, maybe tithe could... If we use the word tithe, it only means one thing, a tenth. It even sounds like it. It's easy to remember. A tithe means the tenth. And a tithe was commanded to the Old Testament people in the law. It was commanded over and over and over and over again. This was very clear. There were no questions. Now, in addition to the tithe, there were required offerings. These were sin offerings. Some of them were ceremonial offerings. They were to be given. Those were not necessarily money. They were usually animals or grain. Some of them were even wine. I mean, oil. It was everything they had. Again, we're talking farmers. So I think about stories I've heard from friends in seminary. You know. When they didn't get a very big check from the little church out in the country, but, you know, boy, they ate good kind of thing. You know, they were getting fresh corn and fresh beans. And some of our folks take care of us as pastors that way. We got a mess of green beans and a big old bag of fresh corn this week. But they gave. They were to bring this to, very specifically, the temple. That was their place of worship. One-tenth, just period, it came. Now, here's what Malachi gets at. They're not doing it. Now, think about this, though. This is very much an action, right? I mean, the equivalent today, writing the check. That's pure action, right? But where he starts, where he just comes in here, is all about the heart. Remember where he started? He started with a theological truth. I am God. I don't change. He's fixed. And what that means is his attributes, his love, his perfection, his holiness, his justice, his righteousness, his glory, that will never change. I've heard it put this way. The kingdom of God, it's set. It's done. There's not this question in the Bible, is the kingdom of God really going to make it? It's done deal. The question of the Bible, the change in the Bible, the kind of storyline, the events that are happening are about you. Are you going to be in the kingdom of God? Who's going to be in the kingdom of God? Are you going to preach the kingdom of God so that others are in the kingdom? That changes. God and His kingdom, it's set. It's fixed. You can count on the reason God hasn't destroyed you yet. He's merciful and that never changes. He's gracious and that never changes. And then he takes it from this big theological truth to a heart thing. He says, return to me. Come back. But the specific incident, it's writing a check. Whatever the equivalent was in that day. Folks, I want to bring us to the New Testament. We're going to use this as a bridge. We're going to make a jump here to Jesus. We don't live under the law. Praise God, I am not I'm not slitting anything's throat this morning, all right? That is not in my job description. The day it is, I'm, you know, finding someplace else. You didn't bring lambs this morning. You didn't bring doves. There's no cows walking around getting ready for a barbecue. we're not under the law. Something changed, right? Can everyone agree with me there? So how does this all fit in together with Jesus? And I want to start with one thing. This is still a heart issue. Do you remember what Jesus said, the most powerful statement he ever made about money? Where your treasure is, there will your heart. All right, I'm a children's pastor. It's actually okay to talk. I don't ask rhetorical questions. Like, I really ask questions. I'm just that goofy. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So in this little excursus, if you look under there, the tithe for New Testament saints. First thing, Malachi deals with the heart just like Jesus. This is a heart issue. Have I said that before? We got to hit this. It starts in your heart. If you have an issue with giving, it's not a financial problem. It's not a budgeting problem. It is a heart problem. That's bold. That's harsh. And I understand it. Blame Jesus. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in the boat, the car, the house, the giant screen TV, whatever it is, guess where your heart will be? It's a heart issue. Point B there. Jesus has fulfilled every requirement of the law, so you don't have to. But the result is not the abolition of the law. So let me explain what that means, just very briefly. If you are in the New Testament, you are not under the law. You don't bring the lambs and the goats, right? We get that. The reason for that is Jesus has completely, and when I say completely, I mean perfectly, every single one, He has fulfilled the law. He did it for you. Your righteousness is not in whether you write a check. That's what we're talking about today. Here's the thing. When God looks at your soul and He looks at you this morning, He does not see the person who wrote the check. We'll get to the tithe. We're just going to use that. He doesn't look to see the person and say, you wrote a check for 10%. You didn't write a check at all. You're more righteous. He looks at the person who wrote the check for the 10%. He looks at the person who wrote the check for nothing. And if they are believers in Jesus Christ, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Himself. You don't get better with God. If you are a believer, you're good. I hope you hear how dangerous this is for a preacher to preach this. Who lives off your tithes and offering. Let's call it what it is. I'm telling you, God will not look at you any differently if you never write a check again to this church. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are righteous. Done deal. Jesus has fulfilled the law. But hear this, and this is why I had Tom read that really long passage this morning that's very convicting. Jesus didn't abolish the law. He said, you've heard that it said don't murder. Guess what happens? If you murder, you trust Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. It's not held on your account. But then look what Jesus does. He doesn't say, hey, you're just good. Go out and kill the guy. He says, I say to you, if you have anger in your heart, you're headed for hell. And He didn't just say, toss the law, it's useless. He fulfilled it. So your righteousness is not dependent on the law. Let's keep going here. Letter C there. Letter C, 3. I'm thorough on this one. Jesus tells the people in the New Testament they should continue to tithe. And that word is an exact quote from Jesus. I didn't want to stretch it in any other way. But the focus is on the big heart issues. I want you to actually turn to this one. Matthew 23:23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. He is dealing with people with evil hearts. Like all of us, right? He's dealing with religious people. These were the good people. They tithed. But He said that wasn't the point. you got the tithe, you don't have the heart. And he condemns them for it. But I want you to look very carefully at verse 23. Don't miss the little point he says in here. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe the mint, the dill, and the cumin. In other words, they've got spice gardens. They're taking a tenth of their spices and they're tithing it. Okay, that's detailed. All right, these people could have made good accountants or auditors. All right, Miss Tedra's, you know, asking for their addresses to hire these folks. But listen to what the rest of it says. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law. In other words, they don't love God. They don't treat their neighbors right. They don't preach grace. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. But look at the next statement. These you ought, another translation says, should have done. In other words, tithing, oh yeah, you ought to do that. You should do that without neglecting the others. Do you catch what he says? Does he just say, hey, don't worry about the tithe? No, you ought to do that. But don't miss the point. Justice, mercy, generosity. We're talking about giving. I mean, I can see these guys. All right, 15 leaves of dill, here's one. 15 leaves of cumin, here's one. Or seeds, I guess it's cumin seeds, right? Okay, thank you. I've got the cook, Miss Amanda, back there, and it helped me. Yeah, 15 seeds, 1, 2, all right. I need 1.5 seeds. They're chopping a seed in half. They got it. They missed the point. All right. So it's a hard issue. Jesus has fulfilled it. This is not about your righteousness. But Jesus says you should tithe. Letter D there. We are led by the Spirit. But the Spirit always leads us to go beyond the specifics of the law to heart issues. Old Testament law, do not murder. How does Jesus say the Spirit leads you? Don't have anger and hatred in your heart. Old Testament law, do not commit adultery. What does Jesus say? Don't lust in your heart. Does he make the law easier? Now what does he do? He expands it. He says, I don't want just your actions. I actually want you to have this from the heart. It needs to come from within. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So let me get at what I'm saying here in just a second. On the conclusion, I'm going to pull from that point in just a minute. But one more thing. The tithe was practiced before the law. At some point, read Genesis 14:20, Hebrews 7:19. It's an Old Testament story. Abraham, pre-law, right? Law comes with Moses. He goes out and he goes to worship. He's coming back from a battle. He's celebrating. And he sees a priest of God. His name was Melchizedek. All right. And you can name your son after that guy, right? And he's this godly man. Abraham runs into him. And you know what Abraham does? He gives a tenth of everything he won in the war. Pre-law. So listen to this. You've got pre-law, a tithe. Law, a tithe, over and over and over and over again. Malachi, ending the time of the law, says this is a hard issue, tithe. Jesus comes in and says you ought to do this, but you ought to do it in the Spirit. So here's the conclusion. All that, okay, we've got points A through E there, all right? Here's the conclusion of that. I'm going to just read it. This is very carefully worded. Tom, Joe, and I worked on this a little bit this week to make sure we had this right. God, give what the Spirit leads you to give to the church. It's pretty freeing, right? The Spirit leads you, just do it. We have the Holy Spirit as believers. Just do what He says. Knowing, and please hear this part, He will lead you to give according to His Word. That teaches the tithe. And okay, here we're going to get the kick. And offerings beyond the tithe. The New Testament does not diminish the law, but it takes it farther into your heart. If you are being in your heart, oh, I just got to give the tithe because God says, you've missed it. Yeah, you got to give the tithe. But you've missed the whole point. God wants 100% of this. He doesn't want 10%. He wants you. Everything you have. And think what he said to the rich man, the man who loved money. Hey, give it all away. And then just follow me. Campfire for you. Think about the widow who Jesus says she understands giving. This Pharisee gives. I mean, he shells it out. It's very boisterous, self-elevating. A little widow comes in and gives. It wouldn't have, equivalent probably would not have even equaled a penny to this day. She gives two little coins. She says she gets it. Remember what percentage she gave? 100. Jesus said she gave all she had. That's the model. Now, this does not mean I expect every one of you to sell your houses, sell your cars. You know, we build a, you know, campfire and some teepees and, you know, start a commune. Who knows? That's happened before in Christianity. The Moravians, God called them to it. There were so many poor and so many rich that they just said, okay, that's it. We're selling it all and we're all going to become missionaries. That's what they did. God wants your heart. And if you're not tithing, He doesn't have it. Now, we've dealt with the have to. Let me present the really positive, fun, happy part. Okay, I'm done with the negative preaching. That's over. Now we're getting to the fun part. Verse number 10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. Only time in Scripture He says, yeah, go for it. See what I can do. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I'll rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, or the vine of your field shall not fail to bear fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Here's what he says. The last part of that, I want to focus on the missions part. Weird everybody out around you. Give so much, they say, how can they possibly give that much? They're way too generous. That's not possible. The numbers don't add up. And I will tell you, from personal experience, the numbers don't ever add up. But God provides. Does that mean you'll have all you want? No. Does that mean He will take care of you? You will be so richly blessed. And I'm not just talking financial. This is not a health, wealth, prosperity. You guys, write 10% and you're all going to be rich. Hogwash. You may have to eat ramen the rest of the month. I don't know. But God will take care of you. He says it, not us. Put Him to the test. Go for it. Now, I want to tell you, there's some practical stuff. Does this mean I'm telling you, don't pay your mortgage this month, just write the check willy-nilly? No. I stink at money. Folks, y'all might as well know that. All right? Your pastor stinks at money. That's why I don't handle it. We have a stewardship committee because Tom and Joe gets it at least. That's not us. We're not accountants. We're not, you know, financial consultants. We're not good at that. But let me tell you, there are some folks in this congregation who get that kind of thing. And they can help you get there. If you need me to point one of them out, I'll tell you. And I point these people out happily because I know for a fact they follow this exact principle. God has their heart and they give generously. So does God call you to tithe, bottom of the line? That's a good start. He calls you to follow the Spirit. And the Spirit never stops at the letter of the law. He goes for your heart. Give. And let me be hard. Give till it hurts. God will take care of you. It doesn't mean you're getting the money back. Please hear that. This is, I'm not going to be one of those pastors who says, give 10% and God will make sure you get 20 back. Or God will make sure it's at least you get that back. Or magically your bills are going to be paid. He may do that. By the way, I will tell you, every person I've ever seen that really can just touch money and it turned to gold, every one of them has been a tither. I'll tell you that. It's experience. Does that mean that every tither touches something, it turns to gold? Trust me, no. But it's gone. All right, we got to fly because it's hot. Verse 13, there's fifth debate, money. The sixth debate. I got to look at my, he's mocking God. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? Here's the no-brainer. When you said, it's vain to serve God. Yeah, that was against me. Just in case you were wondering. What is the profit of keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord's of hosts? In other words, what good is it to do righteous? What good does it do to be sad about sin? Yeah, God says, yeah, that's really making fun of me. And now we call it the arrogant. They're just blessed. Man, I just wish I was like those folks who could just do whatever they wanted. Evildoers, they not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they make it. Have you guys just mumbled that before? Have you been that? Why? They're way worse than me. And look at them. God lets them get away with it. Those kind of thoughts. Those kind of mockeries of God. Here's what happens. God gets the last word. He says, stop. He entertains this debate all the way through the book about tithing, about adultery of all things, about ignoring your covenant vows to your marriage, about all this stuff. But finally, when you say, God, it's just no good to follow you, it stops right now. Here's what God says. We're out of the debates. God's final word, the gospel. Look at verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord, they responded in faith. They were repentant. That's the key sign of a person in fear of God. Spoke to one another. The Lord paid attention to them. Did they do outward works? No, they feared God in their heart. They spoke to one another. Who didn't tithe, by the way? Did you catch this? The whole nation. Everybody. Nobody was tithing. But somebody among this group, their heart got pricked. They heard the message. They heard the good news. They heard to me, return to me and I'll come to you. They heard, the Lord never changes. You're not consumed. Mercy, grace. And listen to what happened. The Lord paid attention and heard them. A book of remembrance was written before Him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. They're my people. We talk about adoption all the time here. We love it. We love it. We love it. We want to do it because that's what God has done for us. He says, you are mine. It's the gospel. Jesus came. Jesus knew you couldn't do it all. He knew you're lousy tithers. He knew you're lousy in your heart. He knew you mocked God to His face. He knew you're lousy at your marriage. And Jesus came and He died for all those things. And He did it all perfectly. So that when you trust Him by faith, He says, you are mine. You are mine. You're my child. It's good news. It's the good news. They shall be mine in the day when I make up my treasured possession. You lousy sinner like me, you're now a treasured possession of God. You're His treasure. I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. There is good news, and you need to respond to it. But just in case you missed that, just in case you missed God's last word, guess what He gets? The last word. He does it again. Chapter 4. Here we go. "For behold, the day is coming like an oven, when the arrogant and all evildoers will stumble. That day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts." In other words, He will judge. He will make things right. "So that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear My name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing on its wings. And you shall go out leaping like calves from a stall, just happy, dancing around. You shall tread down the wicked." For once you're going to win. For once you're truly going to win. "For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On that day when I act, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of My servant Moses, the statutes and rules I commanded him at Horeb and all Israel." In other words, go back to the Scriptures. This is about heart. You got to get in the Scriptures if you want to see your heart change. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." Listen to this promise. Listen to this hope. Listen to this good gospel news. "And He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of order destruction. There is hope. Your families, there's hope for them. Your tithing, there's hope for your finances. Folks, one last thing. We're going to move into a time of response. He says it's all coming. It's coming. And then Jesus gets here. John the Baptist gets here. That's one of the Scriptures uttered of John the Baptist. He's going to get the hearts of the fathers to the kids and the kids to the fathers. And then guess what? Your kids still disobey. You preach Jesus. We read the Bible storybook last night. And then they scream till 11. I'm true, right? You give the tithe and you give offerings beyond it. Man, the tranny falls out of your car. The Lord does have your heart. And you fight this doggone sin. This one thing that just won't let go. Where's this day? It says it's coming. One word, just a little teaching. Two objects, right? Pin cap, pin. One looks real shiny and pretty. The other has nasty ink spilled in it. If I had Jeff Williams way back there in the back, look at this pin. If I'm holding it like this, how many does he see? Just one, right? Look at it. Just one. We're seeing two things happening here. We're seeing Jesus coming. He's stirring in our hearts. He's bringing about redemption. He's earning the privilege for us. But it's not all done yet, is it? The good news is not complete yet. Jesus Christ is returning a second time. The good news, the gospel, includes that God created Jesus, bought your redemption, bought your rescue. There's a response. We trust Him by faith. We repent. We fear Him, is how Malachi put it. But then there is coming a day when God restores. It may look like one thing to us sometimes. We get confused. Why isn't it here, God? Where's the blessings? You're looking from the wrong angle. God can clearly see the two. The shiny one with all the fun stuff. The one that still has some ink on it. Christ is coming again. It's good news. And by the way, if your understanding of the end times doesn't include good news and it'd be all about Jesus, you got the wrong understanding. The good news is Jesus is going to fix it all. Turn to Him. Turn your heart. Let's pray. God, as our deacons come forward and we begin to take the Lord's Supper, Lord, it's hot. Help us to focus. Be merciful on us. Give us some rain, Lord. We come and we have to say, God, our hearts are not what they ought to be. Jesus, because they're far from You. Lord, our hearts are so tainted by this sin and we want to be done with it, God, but we recognize You haven't come back yet. And Jesus, we just long for the day that the gospel is full, the gospel is clear, we see it all, and we say, thank You, praise You, Jesus, to Your face. But God, until this time, may we fear You. May we trust Your blood, Jesus, Your righteousness, and nothing but it. It's in Your name, Jesus, we come. Amen. So today the response is very simple. It's the gospel. Jesus died for your sins. He completed the law for you. He is your righteousness. And today we take that in a picture. He took bread and He broke it. He said, this is My body. It was a picture of His body. And when we take this little piece of bread, remember, Jesus' body was killed for you. Not just killed, killed for you. When we take that cup and we drink it, and that dark stain that it leaves, we remember His blood that not stained our hearts dark, but stained our hearts clean. It's good, good news. Your heart will be changed by Jesus. Let's thank Him for these elements. Father, thank You for sending us Your Son, for giving us Your Word to show us who we are, and that You love us despite that. Jesus, that You have written down the book of those who fear You, those who love You, those who trust You, despite how we fail You in offerings, despite how we fail You in our marriages, despite how we mock You in our hearts. You love us. We say thank You. Jesus, because of Your generosity, because of Your body and Your blood, we come boldly and we pray. Amen.